Hello everybody, this is Akash Mehka and you might know me as Paragon of Justice. Welcome to the new episode. Last episode I read a bunch of poems. So this episode I'm doing something slightly different. I'm sticking to one story and I'm also letting out the sound effects that I usually put in the back of my story, like in the background. Because I felt like they might sometimes be dominating the story and I just wanted you to feel the story as it is. So I don't know if this sounds good, I might stick with it. If I feel like it sounds too dry, I might just go back to having sound effects. I'm not sure. I'm not too bothered about that right now. This also helps streamline the process. So the story this episode is called The Ten Tinkers. And this is also from Varslon, the universe I was talking about earlier. So this particular story is about Ulovaites Dyquil, and it takes place 37 years before the previous story, Coronation. So let's get into it. Ulovaites Dyquil is currently the captain of the Ten Tinkers. She became a tinker 37 years ago after helping the Tinkers defend against a dangerous onslaught from the Karavai forces. She replaced the then captain, Hisaka Akim, on the team and joined as the 10th Tinker under the leadership of Eula Elevair. Ulovaites fought as a Tinker for that entire war and was later a very important part of the coup that ousted King Handane from his throne, placing Danis John as King of Ashen. Ulovaites is widely considered Vazlon's most powerful lighter. Her ability to draw in starlight is far higher than any other lighter. The only one to be at similar levels is Davenir Winterborn of Propulsia. This is the story of Ulovaites Dyquil and her first time meeting her lifelong mentor and teacher, Hisaka Akim. So, a little bit of context. The Ten Tinkers are a group of elite lighters that live in the city Scorched of the Kingdom of Ashen, in the southwestern part of Varslon. So while the kingdom itself is small in size, the kingdom is very powerful because in all of its history, no army has ever invaded it successfully. There have been attempts, multiple attempts, even the Great Empire has tried multiple times and failed because the city does not fall. The Ten Tinkers throughout history have protected the city. And this is the story of the one time they almost fell, but were saved. So let us start the story. Ulo was just a few minutes away from the city walls of Scorched. Her feet dragged in the sand behind her as she walked forward, consumed by hunger. The heat from the sun seemed to be 1,000 times more than it had ever been. The sand itself seemed to glow in sunlight. A lighter would have found it easier to deliver messages like these. But then again, if someone was a lighter, they would be royalty. Or a tinker, but not a messenger. The message she carried was of utmost importance. Ahead of her, she could see the white walls of Scorched. Grand and strong, they seemed to defy the sunlight itself. Sand guards stood on the walls, their spears raised. Raise the spear and prepare to die, the slogan of the Sand Guards. She had listened to the Sand Guards' rules and slogans and whatnot all her childhood from her father, until her father was killed in an alley trying to stop the prince, now king, Handane, from raping a young girl in the city. Obviously, her father was painted as the original offender, and no one ever saw or heard from the victim or her family after that night. But Ulo remembered. She had a good memory, always had. "Who are you, ma'am? And what business did you have in the city?" the guard at the city gate said, scratching his beard. He looked like every lazy, corrupt guard one would find in a city that large. "I am Ulovaites Dyquil, messenger to His Highness King Handane Paravox," Ulo grunted. "And I shall only be in the city for an hour, maybe two. I have no interest in the city or its people." Ulo pulled out the scroll she was meant to deliver. "In fact, I will just tell you here and you can tell your shadow adult king." She opened the scroll and began reading out the contents. The forces of Karavai have assembled and are now marching towards Scotched. Even the untamed cavalry marches. Every lighter in Karavai has joined the war effort. I, Penangana, captain of the Ashen Border Patrol, officially recommend King Handane Paravox to prepare for the most threatening siege of Scorched since the Empire's last invasion. The guard's jaw dropped as he ran inside the city, snatching the scroll out of Ulo's hands. Ulo shook her head. Dumb fool, she chuckled as she turned away from the city. Let the city fall, she hoped for it. She wanted every brick in the city to be torn down and burnt to ash. Let Scorched really be scorched. She sighed. She didn't hate the city. It was her home. She did hate the people in charge, the royalty. The only authority in the city that deserved respect were the 10 tinkers. The 10 lighters of the city that were trained to perfection. She looked up at the sun. Oh, how it tempted her sometimes to let herself draw it all in. But if she was caught doing that, she would be royalty. She would be the same as King Handane, the same as him. Royalty disgusted her, although being a lighter would make things much easier. Let them all fight and kill each other. Her time would come someday. The night sky was beautiful, and the stars seemed to be brighter this night. Anahom enjoyed the night breeze as she camped outside the city that had never fallen. Scorched and its famed walls stood tall and grand, seemingly glowing even in the night. How did one keep white walls like those clean, she wondered. Lady Weza, the captain wants to know if you would like for the untamed cavalry to ride first in the assault or used as a finishing force. Messenger bowed into her tent. To step in first would be like walking into the dark without even a candlestick. There was a reason Scorched stood against every invading force that had ever struck it. Even the grand conquering empire had failed to get past the inner walls. But Anahom led the first ever cavalry unit that consisted fully of lighters. And Anahom had seen these lighters do things that most thought impossible. Glory, honor, victory. She thought of them with fondness. Constellations themselves seemed to thrum with energy when they marched. Anahom thought about it for a minute. Tell Captain Farda that I want us to be right after the first wave. Whoever he decides it must be. We are ready for war. And that was true. Anahom knew what had to be done. Hammer at the walls with bolts of energy, drawing from the star Kennedy until the walls crumbled to dust. From what their spies had told him, Scorched had around 10 or 15 lighters in the city, other than the king himself. They were no match for the 150 trained lighters and untamed cavalry. Not even if the 10 tinkers drew every star on the sky. Starlight would draw blood this night. Of that, she was sure. Glory, honor, victory. We are ready to kill, she said. Ulo sat atop a tall rock a little distance away from the city. She could see the Karavai forces mobilizing for the first assault. On the city walls, she could see the 10 tinkers, the lighters responsible for the protection of the city. A force of maybe 500 men charged the city. Ulo chuckled. There was no way they would make it closer than 100 yards of the city wall. Ulo was right. Just as they neared the wall, a wall of fire slammed into them from the tinkers. They were vaporized. Ulo gulped. If one of those attacks were deflected to where she sat. Ulo shook her head. She'd be fine. Very fine. As long as she remembered to get out of the way. What happened next, she would not be able to tell anyone if they asked. For she didn't understand it completely either. What looked like 100 rods of pure red and white light slammed into the walls. She could hear the explosion all the way from where she sat. Boom, the walls rattled. Ulo stood up, her eyes widening in utter shock. How many lighters did the untamed cavalry hold? Could it really be that big? The 10 tinkers were nowhere to be seen, and then she saw them, reorganizing themselves into a formation on the field outside the city. Why would they leave the wall, she wondered. Had they gone insane? Was this a surrender? The tinkers seemed to be preparing for another round of explosions. And Ulo stared in disbelief. And they were right to do so. Because in a moment, another 100 white hot beams of fire exploded towards the city, But this time, the Tinkers raised the earth itself to form a shield that exploded in dust and dirt. The Ten stood up once again, drawing into formation, raising the earth once more, only to be shattered as another bolt of pure white light smashed into the wall, sending rock flying in all directions. The Tinkers were drawing upon Tirithia to control the earth. Ulo had used it once to stop herself from drowning in quicksand. But what star were the untamed cavalry using? What star let them unleash such destruction upon their enemies? Hisaka grunted as he pulled himself into his feet, sweat dripping from the tip of his nose and yelling at the others, "Stand up! Stand up! The charge comes again!" He heaved Terathea's light into himself, almost brimming with starlight. Oh, how good it felt! "Raise!" he yelled as another wall of dirt and rock rose from the ground, only to feel a flash of power so loud that it seemed to shake the very earth itself. He fell to the ground, sand sticking to his sweat-drenched face. He twirled towards the enemy. Panting, he looked at them. The untamed cavalry, what a fitting name. They were too strong and too many. 10 lighters would not do, not even if they were the best in the world, and Hisaka was far from the best. He was the best in the Tinkers, sure. The royal family? They were stronger than any of them. And where were they now when they most needed them? Where was King Hantane? Where were the princes Gelidane and Thondon? This was not supposed to be his last outing with the Tinkers. He was hoping for retirement one day, but not death. The untamed cavalry struck again, and again the Tinkers raised a wall of rock, exploding in shards of glass. They would ruin the earth before them by the end of the hour if they kept going like this. They had to come up with a different way to deal with this. Hisaka stood, his aging back ached with the years they bore. "Up, lads! We will do something I was taught as a child, and hope to the bloody stars it works." He had to take charge now, be more than just the captain, be a leader, a bloody leader, for the stars' sake. "Join light from Corralis. It's the fourth star in the western arm of the Bear constellation. Let's you see what star they're using when they throw that darn bolt of light. You see it." Hisaka steeled his muscles as he drew in once more from Tirithia, raising a larger wall than he should have been able to raise, and he felt the full brunt of the hit from the untamed cavalry. He felt like his own bones seemed to tremble as he felt the wall shatter. "The star on the northern horizon, Captain Hisaka." Rengar, one of the newer Tinkers, yelled at him. "Kennedy, the stargazers taught us."
"Ah, I have you now, you bloody lighters of the cursed land."
Saka grinned.
"Drawing from the star, lads. Let's hit them before they do. Fast, not all of us."
Hisaka could see the plan forming in his head.
"Rengar, Marva, Helia, Benin, and myself will raise the wall. Yula, Ganji, Jova, Melel, and Panzan. The five of you draw in from this cannery and hammer at them the exact moment after the wall shatters."
The Tinkers nodded. Hisaka drew in Tirithia's light once more, raising a wall with four others, making it as strong and as possible, and once more he felt the wall explode, and he felt himself fly backward again. And that's when it happened. He saw the other five step forward and a white light explode from their palms. By the time he stood, he could see the untamed cavalry in disarray. They had gotten some of those bastards. "Good one, Tinkers," he boomed. "Again, before the bloody recover."
Anahon stared in disbelief as another wave of light slammed into her forces. It burned away at them, a beloved untamed cavalry in disarray. Death, ruin, chaos. A beloved untamed cavalry.
"Stand your ground,"
she screamed to no avail.
How did they know what star?
She glared at the 10 Tinkers of Scorched. They really were as good as the legend said they were. She had heard of their leader once, an old man, Hisaka Akim. Propulsian by birth, they said, raised in Karin, captain of the 10 Tinkers of Scorched. How could this man fire back at her untamed cavalry? She finished that thought, a third wave of light smashed into her cavalry, burning away another line of lighters. "Raise a wall, fight back," she yelled. No one paid her attention. Her cavalry continued to run. She felt the siege failing around her, an entire cavalry in disarray, chaos, death, ruin. She grit her teeth, raising her arms, drawing in Kennedy's light all into itself. And she felt her skin itch as she filled herself completely. She let the bolt loose, aiming for the head of the Tinkers. Saka, Kim, you will be mine. I'll make you pay for this. Even if the siege fails, I shall have you. I shall have your head. Damn you, Akim. Damn you to the shadows. She felt her rage explode in light as she let loose another bolt at the captain. Her entire life she had fought for a chance to lead. A chance to lead the lighters in the Karavai forces. A chance to show that she was more than a woman who could wash away her own madness. She felt it still sometimes, the madness of starlight addiction in her bones. Chaos, death, ruin. She let another bolt loose, aimed for the captain, as the Tinkers ravaged her cavalry. She had lost over half of them at this point, for sure. Pain and memory had no place in her heart tonight. She had to break this Hasaka Akim, and break him in ways no lighter could recover from. Leave him with just enough life to feel the horror of what she would do to him. She let loose bolt after bolt of light at the Tinker. She thought someone was calling out to her from behind, but she hardly cared. All she wanted was that man. Then, in the midst of the madness, she remembered the star, Retatana. It would strip one of the ability to use starlight forever, and she drew on it as much as she could. She wondered if she was the only one who heard her maniacal laughter as she drew in more and more of Retatana's light. She let loose at the captain of the Tinkers. As she did, she felt something snap within her. Death, chaos, ruin. Something snapped within her. Something scary. Death, chaos, ruin. Ulo stared at the battlefield in awe. How quickly it had all turned around. She couldn't help but feel a gush of respect for the Tinkers. They held against that assault. They held. She had heard of Hasaka Akim in action before, but never before had she seen someone that commanding. He seemed to be more than a lighter down there. He was a star himself. And as she watched, something seemed to happen. The Tinkers looked frenzied, scared even. Ulo stood on her toes as she tried to understand what was happening. She grunted as she drew in light from Erene to hear what was going on the battlefield.
Captain Hasaka, what is wrong? A voice screamed from the Tinkers.
Ulo shuddered as another bolt of light swept towards the untamed cavalry. With a feeling of awe, she realized that the entire Karavai force was retreating, all of them except one woman who seemed to be racing towards the Tinkers. She seemed to be insane and extremely dangerous. Ulo made a decision in that moment, one that she would almost regret later. She drew in light from Fresia and, using the enhanced speed, sped towards the Tinkers.
I'm Ulovitis Dykel. There is a lighter from their army heading towards you, she panted as she dropped to one knee in front of one of the Tinkers. It was young and looked to be exhausted beyond any normal human's capacity.
The 10 Tinkers stared at her, eyes wide open. Didn't seem to register what she had said until the older man kneeling behind them stood up and yelled.
Listen to the girl, fools. There's an enemy approaching. Ender.
The Tinkers snapped into formation and trained their aim towards the lone fighter, calmly making her way towards him.
Captain?
A young Tinker with long hair said, her voice quivering. She seems like she's not going to attack.
Let her pass, Saka grunted. She's the one who bloody did it, I'm sure.
It was me, the woman cackled, laughing maniacally. You ruined my plan. You brought death, ruin, chaos.
I defended my city.
Saka stood straight, pride etched in his face. Ulo felt small in front of him and the other Tinkers.
You sick man.
She seemed to draw breath. Not breath, Ulo realized, and drew in light from Uniesa, sapping the light out of the woman. The woman squealed, anger emanating from her.
You dare cut me off, she screamed, her eyes wide with rage.
Ulo acted before anyone else could move. She drew in moonlight and slammed her fist into the woman's jaw, knocking her out. There was a stunned silence as the woman fell to the ground, her hair whipping in the air. She heard someone chuckle behind her. She turned around to find Saka grinning.
Bloody well done, kid, he smiled. How old are you?
Ulo paused. Saka Akim himself was talking to her.
I'm 19, sir.
You're the new 10th Tinker now,
Yula, you're the captain now. Battlefield promotions, get used to it.
He turned around and walked away, whistling some tune and chuckling occasionally. Ulo felt something explode within her, a pride and celebration she didn't know she wanted to have. She was a tinker, not royalty. She was a tinker. She could use the light. She was a tinker, one of the 10 tinkers.
So guys, that was the story of Ulovaitis Dyquil, Saka Akem, and Anahom Reza. Now, Anahom Reza is an important character in the entire story, and Ulovaitis Dyquil, as you might have guessed already, is very, very important. She will be involved in the main story of Hytheon, Davenir, and, well, other characters that will be introduced in the coming episodes. As for Anahom Reza, she will not be involved directly, but there are some discoveries she made before she was captured here that will be very key to the story, because she is one of the most smartest and most talented lighters. She experiments a lot with starlight, and those will have major implications upon the world of Varslon. I hope you really enjoyed the story. This, I do know, is relatively a shorter episode, but I thought that maybe a shorter episode is something you guys would enjoy a little bit more. Or maybe not. I'm not sure. But, well, I hope you have a fun time listening to this story, and I can't wait to get the next story to you. I'm already working on the next story. The next story will be based on a very different place. It'll be based in Larazil, in Solaris. We will be returning to Solaris. It'll be about Baron Ketelaer. Baron Ketelaer is a general, and a very good one at that. It'll be an interesting story. It's more of a nostalgic trip down memory lane style story. So it's very different from what I usually write, but it will be important to the lore. And most importantly, it's about a very, very morally gray character. So I hope that you enjoyed the episode. Feel free to reach out to me on my Instagram or Twitter or, well, however else you want to. If you have any feedback at all, positive or negative, I'm always open to it. Stay tuned until next time. This is Akash Mehka, the Paragon of Justice.